One of the reasons we enjoy going to the movies is to escape from reality. But for Madeline Sprengnether, going to the movies has been a journey of self-discovery. Sprengnether is the author of Crying at the Movies, a film memoir. In 1951, Sprengnether was 9 years old. Her family was enjoying a boating trip on the Mississippi River.
My older brother, who was 12 years old, was showing my dad some swimming strokes that he had learned at the local YMCA. And he somehow got into water that was over his head, and he got panicked. And my dad went out to rescue him and somehow managed to push him towards shore. And my mother waded in and pulled him out. But in the midst of all of this, my dad just disappeared. He went under. And all of this happened so quickly that I myself, even though I was standing on the beach and I must have been noticing something or looking, I have no memory of exactly what happened.
Well, let's move ahead. 18 years. It's January 1969. You're married and pregnant. You finished grad school. You're in your first year of teaching at a college in Vermont, and you saw a certain film. And that movie changed everything for you, didn't it?
Yes, I think it did. That was Padre Panchali, which is a film made in the 1950s by Sajit Ray, the Indian director. It just completely took me off guard, and somewhere towards the end of it, I started to just break down sobbing in the movie theater, not really understanding what was happening. And I just kept on crying and crying in this completely overwhelming way.
Looking back, why do you think that film affected you so strongly?
I think it was for lots of reasons. It's visually very powerful. It's about the death of a young girl and the mother's inability to mourn her death in the immediate context. The mother seems kind of just stunned, and it isn't until later in the film, when her husband, who's been away, returns home and he's brought a present for this daughter who has died, and he's completely unaware of what has happened, that the mother breaks down and starts to cry. But the way this happens in the film is that you hear a musical score. There's no realistic sound. You don't hear the sound of her sobbing. What you hear is this incredibly powerful sitar music. And I think it was the combination of the mother's delayed reaction and this very unusual way of portraying her grief, combined with the fact of the daughter's death, that seemed to kind of tap into a grief that I felt as well, but had so deeply buried that I really didn't have any day-to-day access to it. I also had one experience with the film Fearless that was similar to what had happened so many years ago with Padre Panchali. And I was putting these two things together and thinking, there's something very significant about this, and I need to explore it.
Now, Fearless is the movie about a man who survives a plane crash?
Yes. Though he also is not reacting. And through most of the film, he seems very serene, almost, weirdly, oddly comfortable with his experience. And it isn't until the very end that you get a recreation of the actual plane crash. And that's also what brings this main character back into touch with himself. And I had the same response at this plane crash scene that I had had in watching Padre Panchali.
Emotions that had been held at bay coming to the surface, I suppose.
Yes, I think so. And I think that this scene was quite different from the one in Padre Panchali in that it's an extraordinary film sequence, for one thing. A lot of it is in slow motion. Again, there's no realistic sound. You have an incredibly beautiful musical score instead. And then there's imagery of extreme fragmentation. So the combination of the music and the initial slow motion parts of the scene and then this everything flying apart is extremely powerful. this time I really did have a thought as I was watching the sequence, even though I was having a kind of physiological response that was completely gripping. And one of the thoughts that went through my mind was, this is what it's like to die. And the second thought was, this is what it was like for my father to die. And it was as though I was really back in that moment in time and experiencing what he was experiencing with him. And I know that this is a fantasy, but that was the feeling quality of that moment for me.
One more specific film, Blue, the Kieslowski film.
Yes.
Can you tell me about your experience with that?
Oh, that is a film that I really love. It also begins with a trauma. It's an automobile accident that kills the heroine's husband and daughter, but she is unable to cry. She's unable to mourn. And in fact, she does everything possible to try to separate herself from her previous life, but she can't. The music comes back to her that her husband was composing, presumably with her assistance at the time of his death. And it's the music she has to suppress, that she tries to push out of mind, because it is such a powerful reminder of what has happened and all of her loss. And it's the loss she doesn't want to acknowledge. But the music is insistent, and it keeps coming back until finally she accepts it. And the way that she accepts it, or the way this comes about in the film, is that she agrees to complete the symphony that her husband left unfinished at the time of his death. So her accepting the music and her part in it and agreeing to finish it goes hand in hand with her acceptance of her own past and the feelings that go along with it. So I think that by the time I saw that film, I was seeing more of my own history played out, at least in psychological terms, in ways that I could maybe begin to understand. I could see parts of myself in her in ways that helped me understand myself better.
What do you think it is about the movies that has helped you so much with your own memories and with your own recovery?
Well, I think that movies do something that maybe other media don't do. For instance, when I'm reading by myself, I don't have those kinds of very powerful emotions that movies can stimulate. And I think some of it has to do with sitting in the dark for so long. You spend something like 2 hours, and often longer, in the dark with a lot of other people watching very big images on the screen. And I think it puts one into not a trance state and not a hypnotic state, but something that makes you more vulnerable and I think is closer to the dream state. And maybe it does even tap into those parts of our brains that invent images for us while we're sleeping. Hmm. And I think when you're in that kind of more relaxed state, that you're able to experience parts of yourself, even though you're watching someone else's story, that maybe you don't normally think about.
Madeline Sprengnether is the author of Crying at the Movies, a film memoir. The Piano is another movie that has helped Sprengnether come to terms with her life experiences. This is from Michael Nyman's score for The Piano.